the first item today will be the letter that we received from the minister. I'll spoke to that now. After we dealt with that, we will go to the joint presentation by the secretariat, the police, and ICIT. I think we're looking forward to that. That's a very important presentation. I think over the years there's been a lot of problems in terms of coordination and so on, and I think that presentation may lay the foundation for better operation in terms of disciplinary recommendations and ensuring that there's better coordination. And it's also very good to have the Metro Chiefs also with us today. They play a very important role, and we also look forward to them participating in this interaction. After that session, we will deal with one set of minutes. There's also a request from Mr. David from the speaker. There was a matter that was referred to the previous portfolio committee of the previous term, but it wasn't handled. It was referred to the speaker, and the speaker referred it again to us. So we'll also deal with that, but it's quite clear from the contents of it that it's ideally for us to investigate. It's serious allegations in terms of corruption and so on. But we will deal with that later. So that is more or less our program. So if we can cooperate, we can finish maybe lunchtime, more or less. Yeah, it's possible. The letter of the minister, now we received the letter of the minister. I've asked members to study the letter and also look at the relevant legislation to see how we can move forward on the matter. Now, I also looked at the legislation last night and reflected on the request. And I came to the following conclusion, and maybe then we can, as a committee, agree on the approach forward. That would be helpful to dispose of the matter at this time. Now, in the judgment of the Constitutional Court of last year of December, on page 54 and 55, the Chief Justice mentions a lot of issues with regard to the role of Parliament dealing with the matter of the removal of the head. But yesterday as well, the Minister in presentation also highlighted again some lacunas, even in the current legislation, even after the adoption or the Constitutional Court case. The Minister mentioned the issue of initiating proceedings. There's also issues with relation to when is a trigger being, when does a trigger kick in for the Parliamentary Committee in terms of the process. But it's quite important for us as a committee going forward to understand that we as Parliament must act in terms of the Constitution. We must act in terms of the law and also in terms of the rules and precedents. So with such an important matter, there is a heavy duty on members of Parliament to look at everything before us. Apart from the letter, we must look at the current legislative framework and as a starting point. Now, there is a problem from my side with Section 17 for us to proceed in terms of the request of the minister. And it's a quite simple thing, and my proposal also to move forward will be along those lines. In the current legislation, it says a committee of parliament must entertain this request made by the minister. Now, it's not clear in the current legislation, or even in the constitutional judgment, that committee is the portfolio committee on police. In terms of the rules, one can also argue it can be a different committee, or it can even ad hoc committee for that purpose. And the only authority in terms of the parliamentary framework that can make a decision in the absence of their guidelines is the Speaker of the National Assembly. So my suggestion would be to the committee that we take note of the letter of the Minister of Police, and that I write this morning to the Speaker and ask guidance whether indeed it is the Portfolio Committee on Police that can move with this matter or explain this matter. Because the problem is, it also raises the question of rationality, the question of legality. If we are indeed the committee, then I think we can entertain it. But I think there's uncertainty and it isn't spelled out in judgment as well as the current legislative framework. So my suggestion would be that we also write back to the Minister of Police indicating that we know this request, that we will write to the Speaker of the National Assembly and ask guys whether indeed we are in terms of Section 17 that specific committee, because it's unclear. And I don't feel as a portfolio committee on police, we should start a process where there is not certainty about the rules of the game. It must be legal certainty before we even entertain merits for the process. So I, my proposal as chief is to let us do those two things. We write to the Speaker for clarity on Section 17, whether we indeed that committee will await their response. And then we will consider again the process. Not, we're not even at the merits stage at this stage. So if we can move forward on that, I'll appreciate that. And then we will await the letter from the Speaker. That is the proposal from the Chair. Honourable Code of Honour.
Chair, I appreciate the fact that you've taken a step back and are looking at this facility. I would like to raise a word of warning to the committee. We've actually seen this dance before. We have seen the head of the Hawks in KwaZulu-Natal suspended. Allegations were made by a man facing massive jail terms, and they were taken as gospel, and he was suspended. It took him 2.5 years being cleared by the High Court, once by...
Can we focus on what he said? Yes.
I may continue. He was then had to go through huge personal hardship, twice cleared by the Labour Court, once by the High Court, once by a disciplinary hearing within the SASH. And even then, the Minister wrote, he said, not the Minister, the National Police Commissioner wrote to him illegally because he has no say over him. He said, why can't I fight? Now, for us to look at something where it just says, oh, there's some allegations so firing. It's the same story all over again. It has nothing to do with Anwar Drummond. He's never been arrested, charged in a court of law, or found guilty of anything. It's some amorphous allegations, and now that's what's being used as an excuse because he asked for the incumbent fast. 2 days later, he's suspended. So I really, a word of warning, we are not a court of law, and I cannot ever be put in the position where I feel like we're acting as though we're lawyers and judges.
Yes, sir. What the Honourable Member is not helping the process.
No, I think I indicated as well, not with the merits at a stage, not at all. There must still be determination whether it is appropriate for, and I mean, that is really the question before the committee, and if we can get consensus on that, it will be good. Honourable Grunewald and then Honourable Boyd.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can start by saying it is quite clear you had a good night last night. I think this is a good process. You're quite right. I think there are a couple of lacunas. And the fact of the matter is that we as a committee, we have an obligation to ensure that we follow the correct procedure when it comes to legislation. We know that this case is a high-profile matter when it comes to the courts of South Africa. We have the finding of the Constitutional Court. And I really want to appeal that when we handle this whole process, that we must be very, very sure that we will comply to the constitutionality as far as our process is concerned. Therefore, the Freedom Front Club will support this route, writing a letter to the Speaker that we get clarity on which the specific committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. We from the African National Congress will support, because you can see that you have done a lot of thinking last night. And it's in our interest to make sure that you go to the bottom of the matter. But as Honourable Grunewald has read one yesterday, that we should always make sure that we understand and interpret the constitutional court decision quite properly. If there's uncertainty, it's in our interest to go back to the Madam Speaker and solicit proper mandate of who is it that exactly that it is pointing to, so that we don't start wrong. So the question is asked in the constitutional court. It's not something that we are looking at. But I'm more interested to solve the problem. And really would like to secure the African National Congress. We'll go along with what the thinking is and give it a chance and reflect on all the matters that Honourable Kolapana is raising, reflect in that case.
I'd appreciate it if the visitor's ability to call the Honourable Karabana, because it is just a bit too much for somebody to call it. Speak to the chair, attend the chair, sir. That's what we do in this committee.
She's very distracted. She doesn't listen to us. She wants to talk alone. So this is their committee. And she doesn't know the rules of parliament. She's just misbehaving. And we can't have this type of behavior. We're one member thing that what we hold to her in this particular committee.
Chair, so, are you chairing the meeting or just went in here?
I'm making my point.
Just
tell us what to do.
Honorable, go ahead, please. Members, please. We are in this committee. We allow each member to put his point. This is not the National Assembly, it's a committee. So we give each member opportunity and let's just refrain from dejections and so let's just keep let us give member opportunity. Even if we disagree, we will again give persons an opportunity, but let's give the member opportunity.
Chair, yeah, we're not disagreeing correcting member and saying I should be the honourable candidate. I'm talking to the chair. If I may address you,
sorry, this point of order from honourable Mark. I think yesterday I raised a point of order twice, and it doesn't seem to be working. So I think next time Honorable Chairperson must come in here with boxing gloves. We must let us ensure that we operate as a committee effectively. Let us respect each other's view. Let's give everybody opportunity to say their side. And if you disagree, wait your shots. Let's give Honorable Gwynne opportunity. I should also Honorable
Sir, what I was saying is that African National Congress do support your point of view. We think you have taken a correct decision and go along with what you say, but we will deal with the details that they have presented. All the other views I say is how do you go into the reports that the minister was quoting in the letter. If you quote in the meantime, see if you can be getting those copies ready. If the speaker says this is the committee responsible, to give us an opportunity to read and be able to prepare for the occasion or for the process that we will be on that one. But thank you, Sir President.
Thank you, Honourable Bo. Yes, we will have to wait first for that to get clarity. Honourable Clark.
The chair, a point of order just before you continue. Can we just get it on record that in the Honourable Boy, that in future you will also always listen to what I'm saying?
I always listen to you, my friend. My best friend.
Honourable Clark.
Chair, for the first time in this committee, I've shared party declaring in some form or the other as to what their stances are on issues. The EFF will support the decision of the Senate, and it will be basically guided by you and the Speaker on how we proceed. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think members, there's been consensus by the Portfolio Committee on Police that we proceed in the following manner. We will write the speaker indicating that we received this letter from the Minister of Police, and then ask clarity in terms of the speaker guidance in terms of Section 17, whether indeed the Portfolio Committee on Police is a relevant committee that we got. We will also write then to the Minister of Police acknowledging the letter and indicate that we've written the speaker for guidance in the matter. So that is then item one. Thank you very much. We then go to item two. This is a presentation, a joint presentation by the South African Police Service, IFED and the Secretariat. The National Commissioner apologized for the National Police Day activities, so it's fine. I presume the acting secretary will lead the delegation. If he maybe can just introduce the delegation and then maybe let's start with the members first.
I'm Yenizhe Dipuwe, a member of parliament.
My name is Jerome Mage, a member of this
committee. Morning, my name is Pindile Mola, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. Good morning. The name is Akele Mbele.
Hi, I'm Diane Kolobard, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you very much. I forgot one thing. Our researcher is going to first do a presentation for us on the map before we start with the presentation from the side of the delegation. But maybe meanwhile, the delegation, Acting Secretary, please introduce your delegation.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll allow the delegation to introduce themselves. My name is Lulim Fudi, and I'm the Acting Secretary of Police.
Robert McBride, Executive Director, Independent Police Investigative Director.
Mrs. Sissoko, National Aid Investigation, IAID.
Ms. Anjike Wiki, Chief Director, Monitoring and Evaluation in Civil and Secretariat for Police.
Good morning, Leander Kompo from Civil and Secretariat for Police, Director, Police Conduct.
I'm Brigadier Makubo from SAPS Head Office.
Good morning. My name is David Moske, Colonel Mahalohani from SAPS.
Colonel Kevin Spain from Police.
Good morning. Moses Lamini, IT National Sportsman.
Morning. Good
morning, Marianne here, Acting Program Manager, IFED, Compliance Monitoring and Stakeholder Management.
Morning, my name is Eugene Zama from Devon, Chief of Devon Metro Police.
Good morning, my name is Nijima Tabate, Chief Metro Police, Nelson Mandela Bay. Thank you.
My name is Stephen Govini, Swane, Chief of Police.
You won't allow members afterwards to sort out the ticket issues for the chiefs here. But anyway, welcome to everybody. We're going to ask you to let our researcher to give us just an evaluation and perspective of the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. I will be really quick. The committee had a meeting on the 19th of November last year, and the main issues raised were the recommendations for IFED not being implemented by the FAC, especially the development of national standards of for policing, the unequal disciplinary proceedings within the FAC, in that there is no standardized sanctions, and possibly the unlawfulness of not initializing proceedings within 30 days of receiving IFED recommendations as stipulated in the IFED Act. Firstly, the general relationship between the FAT, the Secretariat and the IFED. And lastly, the limitations of the IFED in terms of capacity follow-up on cases and the integrity of reporting. In the 19 November meeting, the committee resolved to have the three departments back in early January and to bring the joint strategy that outlines mutual agreed upon rules of the game regarding the disciplinary recommendations made by the IPID. Honorable Chairperson and members, in looking at the presentation, that the joint presentation, they speak towards the data discrepancies within the reporting of statistics. The committee should request additional details on the manner in which the statistical information will be reported in the future. Also, a copy of the standard template that has been developed could be also useful. They also mentioned that personnel will be involved in monitoring the assurance process, and the committee should request details on who these personnel members will be and how the process will work. Also, feedback on the initial consultation with Statistics South Africa should be requested by the committee and are continuing as stated in the presentation. Honourable members, secondly, the presentation also talks to the purpose flow of recommendations and the different processes that are followed for five provinces, divisions and the Ministry of Police Services. In the fact that the purpose flow chart was developed, now this has worked in the past very well in the Child Justice and Domestic Violence Act, but the committee can ask whether there will be a different purpose flow on the management of ICE recommendations developed with the FAPS division and the Municipal Police Services. It is also not clear how far the process currently is, and the committee should request detail on when the process flow chart will be completed and implemented. Also, there is no clear time frame on the terms of reference that is left for the monthly recommendation meeting between all road players. The partners should submit a copy of the final terms of reference to the committee upon completion. Honourable member, there is also a memorandum of understanding that has been developed to address the issues raised by road players, and it will be ideal if the committee can also get a copy of the memorandum of understanding. Honourable members, there is also a slide regarding the lack of common understanding of the terminology. The committee, they indicate that there should be a supporting document that's being referred to in the presentation to substantiate the decision taken and the initial action once the recommendation is received from the IFAD. The committee should request clarity on what these supporting documents should entail. Also, the level of handling recommendation and the level of interaction between the FAPS and IBIS, nothing to do with the communication between the different departments, are also addressed in the presentation. The committee should request additional detail on the protocols in place regarding the personnel dealing with the recommendations from the FAPS and the IBIS. The FAPS should indicate the manner in which the level of coordinators are being reviewed. They indicated that the FAPS coordinators are being reviewed. In this regard, the staff should also indicate the current the level of the coordinator's currency, and also the trajectory of thinking as to what the level of the coordinators should be. Honourable members, the staff should provide a clear time frame for the completion of the review of coordinators. Then they also plan on the responsive problems that and the Municipal Police Service in terms of Section 30A, B, C of the ID Act. The committee should welcome the fact that the Municipal Police Service agreed to comply with Section 30 of the IFAD Act, even though they are currently excluded from the section and thus not obliged to provide any feedback to IFAD on the disciplinary recommendations, whether they have been implemented or not. All Municipal Police Services have signed an MOU to be forged to this commitment. The committee should also establish whether the 14 templates referred to in this section are the same templates referred to in the slide dealing with the data discrepancies. Honourable members, also there were problems regarding the timeline in terms of the latest submissions of feedback to the IDID. The IPID should, and the FAPS and Municipal Police Services should ideally indicate what the nearly agreed timelines are for the submission of the documents in order to avoid late submission of reports, documents and or recommendations. The joint presentation also deals with the delay in addressing backlogs in terms of responses from such and municipal police service. And such should state the number of backlog cases that must be dealt with by September 2015, as that is the deadline that's provided. Such should also indicate the current status of the disciplinary regulations and when it is expected to be finalized. I think the committee dealt with it in some degree yesterday. But lack of the standardized set of disciplinary sanctions is having a hugely negative effect on the FAB. Honourable members, I've already spoken about the municipal police service exclusion from Section 30 of the IFAD Act, and that they have signed the MOU to commit to giving feedback to the IPID on the implementation of recommendations. Honourable members, looking at the way forward, the joint presentation, it is clear that there are some movements forward in dealing with the IFAD recommendations and clear commitment to resolving the issue. However, the committee should request the department to indicate when the IFAD recommendations will be included in the performance agreements of managers concerned. The department should also set the manner in which these managers are identified and whether they will be dedicated entirely to the implementation of the IFAD recommendations. Honourable members, in terms of the Metro Police Services, we received two separate presentations, one from the Durban and one from the Swanee Municipal Police Service. There seems to be three main challenges facing the Municipal Police Services. The first is that they operate under disciplinary procedures with no standardized sanctions other than the FAT. And secondly, the municipal police service is carved out by the collective labor agreement of the South African Local Government Association, or COLGA. And thirdly, the municipal police services are excluded from Section 50 and is thus under no obligation to provide feedback. However, a legislative amendment in this regard would be required. Some members, additional challenges is the quality of disciplinary recommendation reports from the IPID. In the past, it has been identified as a problem, and as the executive director indicated yesterday, that the 90-day time frame in which investigations must be completed put a huge strain on the quality of investigation. They have included this as a performance indicator and must be carefully monitored by the committee. Also, the committee spoke yesterday about the proposal for a meeting between the executive director and the secretariat. I'm not going to go into that. And then also the asset regulation. The asset regulation should be amended to include a specific section on the feedback process of disciplinary recommendations to be complied by the FAT. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, Nicolette. I think members got now the background of the issues, and then we'll immediately go to the presentation over to the Acting Secretary. Thank you.
I've got a bit of a cold. Warm greetings to the Admiral Chair and honourable members. We appreciate the opportunity given to us taking note that the issues pertaining to police conduct are critical in our constitution and the legislation that's governing the police. So we've divided the responsibilities. I've done the introductory remarks, and then I've been doing the presentation, and the SAPS and the Metro Police will answer all questions. As indicated earlier, on the 19th of November, the Portfolio Committee invited us all to individually present the challenges faced with monitoring and implementing the recommendations of IFAD. And then, as also indicated, we were asked to go back and discuss the matter and come up with a joint presentation. So we acted on the committee's comments immediately. On the 25th of November, IPED and Secretariat got together and we started engagements on the nature of the consultative forum. But also on the 26th of November, the South African Police Service, IPED and CSP and we had a workshop that was attended by more than 75 members, attended also by the senior managers, just to discuss the issues that were raised and to look at challenges and to explore the solutions. We then had a follow-up meeting on the 11th of December in order to prepare the presentation for this meeting. And Mr. Sisoko will now continue with the rest of the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, good morning. Let me preface this presentation by indicating on Chairperson that this presentation is a joint presentation of all the parties, that is the IPED, the police, the civilian secretariat, as well as the metros. The engagements that the civilian secretariat led to involve all of the parties. So, in terms of the presentation, there is a consensus on the contents thereof and buy-in by all parties represented in this August House. I will continue then on slide 3 of the presentation. The Secretary has already touched on slide 2. You all know that IPED investigates criminal matters against SAPS, NPS, and make recommendations with regard to disciplinary steps to be taken. SAPS and NPS must implement the recommendation of IPED within 30 days of the SIP. The Civilian Secretariat of Police is responsible to monitor the implementation of IPED recommendation and report to the minister thereon. With regard to concerns and challenges as they were indicated in our past action of the committee, there were issues relating to data discrepancies, process flow of recommendations, different processes that are followed for SAPS provinces, divisions, and SAP and MPS, lack of effective communication, lack of common understanding on terminology, for example, initiating of disciplinary processes, level of handling of recommendations, level of interactions between SAPS and MPS and IPID, responses from SAPS, MPS in terms of Section 30A, B and C of the IPID Act, timelines which refer to late submission of documents, recommendations and reports, delays in addressing the backlog, inconsistent functioning disciplinary processes, and it has also been noted that Section 8 of the IPL Act does not safely provide for the Metro Police services. The proposed solution as per the engagements by the parties were identified as follows. On the data discrepancies, there was an agreement that there should be a uniform reporting in terms of statistical information, standardized reporting template that has been developed, statistics, reconciliation meeting have commenced, monthly quarterly assurance processes have commenced, consultation with Stats SA is continuing in this regard to help us ensure the quality of our statistical information. With regard to the process flow of recommendation, different processes that are followed by SAPS provinces and MPS, as well as divisions within MPS, we have developed the process flow on the management of the IPID recommendations, on lack of effective communication, a draft terms of reference for monthly recommendation meetings for role players, has been developed, is in place, and it will be
signed on and agreed upon at the next forum meeting. A review of the current MOU to specifically deal with issues relating to Section 30. Regular meetings between SCPS, IPIDs, necessary, and NPS on a monthly basis. On lack of understanding of terminology and definitions, consensus was reached at the workshop held on the 26th, November 2014, as to how initiation would be dealt with. Initiation would mean on receipt of IPID recommendation, SAPS and NPS must indicate the manner on which the manner of initiation within 30 days. For example, SAPS, NPS must apply their mind and make decision in compliance with SAPS, NPS prescription, indicate the manner in which they are going to initiate. This would include progressive discipline, suspension, in terms of their respective regulations, appointment of a disciplinary officer or initiator or a investigating officer as per Regulation 12 of the SAPS regulation. And if no disciplinary action are to be taken, a comprehensive report must be provided to IPID to indicate reason for IPID to review their recommendations and indicate a way forward in that regard. There was also agreement with regard to supporting documents that are needed in terms of Section 30 of the IPID Act that must be sent and proof of initiation. With regard to level of handling recommendations and interactions between SAPS, IPID, SAPS and IPID have protocol in place as to who is dealing with recommendation. SAPS is reviewing the level of coordinators. IPID coordinators are on deputy director level. There are regular meetings between SAPS and IPID, APS, and civilian secretary as well as MTS on a monthly basis. On this issue, the agreement now is that this should be a joint meeting because initially the meetings will only involve the SHS, civilian secretary, and IPID, and then the meeting with the Met Force were held separately. So now the agreement is that this will be held jointly. Responses from SAPS NPS in terms of Section 38 B and C of IPID Act. There is a common reporting template in place to address the information required and agreement on reporting template in respect of Section 38 B and C. And this reporting template will be signed on and be implemented after the Metro Forum where all the meetings and the HCs to take this forward. There's an agreement that NPS will comply with Section 30 of the IPID Act, pending the review of the Act, as indicated that Section 30 does not specifically provide for NPS compliance with Section 30. And the IPID will be approaching Parliament with a review of the IPID Act, a part of the review of the IPID Act in this regard. However, there's an agreement that the Metro Police will comply with Section 30 as though they were indicated in the Act. With regard to timelines and then submission of documents, there's an agreement here on the new timelines. That is to accommodate both the departments to meet the respective timelines, and the timelines will also include the Metro Police in this regard. Delays in addressing backlog in terms of responses from SAPS and NPS, priorities given on backlog cases, and it is anticipated that they will be dealt with by September 2015, as the agreement in our engagement with the SAPS that these backlogs are still obtained will be dealt with within that timeline. There is currently a lot of movement in that regard in terms of dealing with this backlog. And the provincial visit will be embarked on to ensure that these backlogs are addressed. Inconsistent sanction in disciplinary processes. LEPS has developed a sanction and guideline that is the process of consultation with labor for its adoption. As indicated earlier, it is noted that Section 3 of the IPIA does not provide for NPS. There is an agreement that NPS will now comply with Section 30 of the IPIA pending the review of the IPIA Act. In terms of the way forward, Mr. President, management meeting with stakeholders will be used as a basis to strengthen compliance and implementation of IPIA recommendations and evaluation of the remedies and solution as indicated in this presentation. What we did was we went further and developed also templates for this meeting so that there's consistency in these meetings that would address all the areas that were indicated as being problematic, so that also there's a continuous evaluation of these to ensure that these problem areas are identified beforehand and are dealt with before they become problematic for all departments. And we agree that there will be joint meetings which will continue on an annual basis, which will be large workshops which will review everything that has been done and look at how far we are in terms of the implementation and deal with any challenges that may have been identified. We also agreed that we'll advocate for implementation of IPIA recommendation to be cascaded to all stakeholders in terms of their APAs, APPs, and SDIPs. Issues pertaining to IPIA recommendation will be regularly discussed at the consultative forum, so this will be a standard item, obviously, in the consultative forum, to ensure that there's continuous monitoring of progress in this regard. Further engagement with the MPS at the next MPS forum to conclude on the process flow for each MPS, as they have different processes. Part of the engagement identified that in terms of MPSs, there are different processes in their own framework on disciplinary processes. So what will happen is that there will be engagement with each metro to ensure that the process flow that has been developed in respect of ICID and SDTS, we have a similar process flow for each metro, and that will also be adopted in the next metro forum. IPID recommendation becomes an item at all management fora of all stakeholders. There's an agreement that the issue of the recommendations should be standardized in all management forum of the stakeholders to ensure that at all levels, up to the highest level of management, there is a sense of progress with regards to the implementation of IPIG recommendations. And also that they should be included in the performance agreements of all managers that are dealing with the implementation of these recommendations. Chairperson, that is the presentation from the joint parties. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Yes, I think there is indeed a lot of progress made, and I want to really commend the three institutions as well as the chiefs that we have really made good progress at the meeting in December. So I think it is very, very good that we move in the direction. There is better coordination than speaking to others. And the memorandum, I think, is excellent between IFED and as well as the chiefs, and that is a good framework for moving forward. So we will go to questions. I just want to ask maybe a question or two. Part of the oversight from this committee also deals with the issue of corruption. Now, in the JCPS cluster, there is a lot of emphasis on corruption within the cluster. Now, the issue of
how do we fight corruption also at metro level? I'm very glad the metro teams are here. For instance, after the incidents in Ferguson, US, there was a big debate in the States about how do we ensure better oversight over police actions, make use of technology. And there's a big debate. New York and Boston are implementing the measures. This morning I heard the city manager of Johannesburg, Mr. Fowler. He indicated also the problem with systemic corruption in that department, and he indicated that they are looking at identification of metro police and on the uniforms and kind of system to ensure that, you know, that the members of the public that interact with the police or the metro police, they know who they're talking to. Now, I just want to maybe get some perspective in terms of the planning of the metros, the question of body cam videos. Are we moving in that direction? Because that will, in my mind, contribute a lot to ensure if there's interaction between a member of the public and a metro police, then there is a record. Because the unreported solicitation of bribes is an urban legend in the metro areas, and I mean there's various instances where metro police have been very strict, but that's a major concern. If we don't address that matter of systemic corruption effectively, we're not going to make it work. Luckily, IFED has also got specific mandate to deal with it effectively, and you know, from a portfolio committee perspective, we will support IFED in that regard. We will also even go to Treasury to support them to ensure that function effectively you know, driven, because we need to stand that out. So if I just get maybe during question time or response time, just maybe some perspectives, maybe also from the IFED director, but all of the chiefs, and maybe Johannesburg and Katia and Ekurini, what are they doing proactively to deal with that matter? Are we going to use technology to ensure that we move forward effectively? Right, let's go to questions. Members, Honourable Molabachi.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the MTS. If you are screening properly done for entry level, why I'm asking this is the manner in which this the corruption keeps on coming. It comes somehow questions the way the screening was done. Maybe these people got into the service being bad police or what. Is this done properly? That's my first question. My second one is on this Section 30. On your backlog. You keep on bringing backlogs. My question is, I see in your way forward, there's no way where you mention what you're going to do about backlogs, and I'm sitting and wondering, do you intend doing anything about backlogs? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Malabashi. Other members, Honourable Pahara.
Thank you. You know, we have all these struggles coming to us from time to time, and sometimes it gets very hard on us. And I think we need to appreciate the fact that sometimes when they do good, that ought to be acknowledged. We've done well, and hopefully, with the legal bottlenecks that have been identified, with us playing our role as the portfolio committee assisting to unravel such, we'll move forward. I must say I'm extremely appreciative of that which happened.
Thank you, Honourable Swallow. Oh, yes, Honourable Bailey.
Thanks, Chairperson. I echo the sentiments of how encouraging it is to see the improvements around, you know, developing a process, flow charts, rationalizing the mechanisms for liaison between the agencies. But I would like to raise a concern that I had raised the last time, which speaks to core issue of the nature and the strength of accountability in implementing these processes when it comes down to Section 30 again. I'm particularly concerned on page 9 of the presentation. And obviously, it's not for the IPED and its recommendations to prescribe the nature of the sanctions to be applied when they've made a finding of guilt or misconduct. So quite right that SAPS would refer to its own regulations about how to arrive at that conclusion. But the last two bullet points here are opening an escape valve that has me very worried about how it can dilute accountability, because I remember very clearly hearing from SAPS management at the last hearing that their interpretation of initiating disciplinary proceedings was to reinvestigate the cases in many instances. And so the third bullet point speaks to that. It seems to have become consensus that the appointments of an investigating officer within the SAPS to reopen and reinvestigate the case of the allegations is going to be taken as part of initiating disciplinary proceedings. And the fourth bullet point in particular concerns me because it seems to give consent to the notion that no disciplinary steps will be taken, and it's simply about giving a report to explain why. Now, I mean, that's completely unacceptable. This is diluting the entire point of accountability and the teeth that IPED has as a police watchdog. Because there's a difference between the purpose of an investigation, which is the IPED job, and the disciplinary proceeding. The disciplinary proceeding, and the SAPS must please clarify for us if the stance has changed or there's a nuance that I'm missing. But IPED does the investigation, which is about gathering evidence to test the truth of allegations being made against a police officer. Now, it gathers the evidence. The purpose of the disciplinary proceedings within SAPS is to give the accused an opportunity to make their representations in response to the allegations and the evidence already gathered. If SAPS is investigating, it essentially wipes the state clean, makes the IPED's investigative powers redundant, and allows an entirely different base of evidence to be gathered, which then obviously would lead to a different outcome. So I'm still very, very concerned about those two bullet points. That is not what was intended by the legislation when the IPED was given chief and when accountability was strengthened in giving the IPED both its investigative powers and also making Section 30 obligations mandatory. So I'm very concerned about that, and I would like to just hear from both from the IPED as well as the SAPS and the Metro Police Services, now that they've been contractually put into the framework. Just is somebody thinking about this, and if not, somebody must think about it, because this is quite possibly open to a court challenge. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Honourable Bele, Honourable Mula, and then Honourable Ramatakane, and Honourable Mabija as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is one. Thank you for the presentation. This is good. But what I want to know, what causes the deadlocks?
Honourable Ramatakane.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. This is maybe I'm attracted to the point that has been raised very all over the back. You know, maybe it would be important that just to explain how the process works, particularly on the issues of the alleged misconduct investigation by IPED and the recommendation what then happened departmentally. So that you should explain whether there is any other different investigation that in suing a department upon receiving the recommendations from IPED, whether the departmental, the only document that we utilize would be the IPED report in terms of the disciplinary process in the departmental, whether you both are that with the departmental investigation insofar as that is concerned. Maybe it would be important to explain that first. But my point on this on the introduction one, I think it's slide three, where you talk about investigation. You do say that the IPED investigates, and then the bullet two says the SAPS and the municipal police must then implement what the recommendation is. So further down, if you go into a slide nine that was made reference to, then immediately have a contradictory point in terms of if action is not taken, the report will have to be given. Maybe you will just explain that particular point. Why do you have that escape clause? It looks like there is a, it should have had, it's a full stop. If you say they must implement, the error in the implementation of that recommendation exonerates or say they have found the guilty verdict. But you can't, if not, then you have creating another problem of escape clause. Number two, Chair, just quickly I run through this. I noticed the harping on the section 30 of IPED, the exclusion part, or the omissions that municipal police is not mentioned there, but there is an agreement, it's a good progress. But municipal police is part of policing, part of security, and part of an integrated policing of South Africa. And therefore, the omission does not necessarily mean that it's read that it is immune from compliance. It cannot be, because you can't have a imbalance or inconsistency of the safety forces operating in the country. You have to have a uniform approach to it. Now, I wanted to ask you, given this happening on it, whether you, well, of course, there will be a legislative review, of course, to deal with that particular, to be addressed again. But did you want us to have a committee resolution to continue to bolster your concern around the question that there is an anomaly there? What do you actually say? It wasn't very clear. The protocols that has been mentioned, I think Seth is here. There's a point where it says such as this protocol in terms of the meetings. Well, we don't quite know what is it that protocol in terms of the levels. I'm interested to know in these meetings that we're talking about, these forums, who attends these kind of meetings, at what level is a commitment attendance? Because it's well and good to have them, but later in the process we can also have people who are not necessarily empowered to make this particular decision. Then you then run into a difficulty of a forum that speaks, but you're unable to move forward. So who attends, I think, for me becomes important. At least maybe you have to say who attends. Now, the sanctions problem of uniformity of sanctions, what's your idea about it? You raise it as a problem. Of course, there must be some kind of a standard issues, although you can have completely close eye that it shall be like that, because it's a disciplinary process where each institution has to implement it on the basis of what happens in that particular hearing. You can't simply write it completely to say it shall be like that. But somehow there must be some kind of indication or guidelines towards the uniformity. What is it that you see as, because that part of the functionaries that has to come up with something that you negotiate amongst yourself to say there shall be some kind of guidelines around this. In this case, the carrier will play a central role. Maybe you haven't done, maybe you can do some thinking about that. What is the exact meaning of the reviewing of levels? There's a question that you're reviewing the steps levels in terms of the attendance. What does that mean? Does it mean it got to do with the seniority? That's probably going to the same question. And I want to know who attend this meeting, at what level, who actually goes to this particular meeting. And let me say the last thing, I mean the integration is very important. I think it's probably the correct word is integration rather than a joint forum. An integrated policing that going into South Africa becomes critical. That's what we see. And that, for that, we need to compliment the effort, because this people sitting in the room, they could be difficult customers when it comes to their own turf, guarding turf. So, but this kind of effort, I think, must compliment that it has cut down the lines of turf into saying
we have a common objective and common purpose. I think we must compliment you for that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Abuja. And then Honourable Khrunobol.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to indicate that this report presented was a presentation is good in black and white. And I have faith that the remedies are going to be implemented as expected, because through experience we find that we have very good presentations, but the implementation part of it becomes a very weak, such that when the committee needs to have a report, you find that there are excuses or the reports are not, that they are just not satisfactory. So I'll encourage that we go and implement as expected. Is there that we will reach the end of the tunnel where we see that light? And this is really promising that we are going somewhere. And please let's get there.
Thank you,
Chair. I just want to say my honourable colleague, Honourable Ramat Lakhani, has asked so many questions that I don't think there's going to be time to answer my questions. But mine is very short. I just want to know on Section 30, Chairperson, the indication is that there's a review, so I suppose there's going to be an amendment to the Act. Can we get that indication? When can we expect that? It's still this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think this is the third round. And the next round we're going to give Honourable Rabbi Khan another chance. No, it's excellent question. No. Hey, Secretary, you can start.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just a number of issues which we raised on previous occasions. On the previous occasion, I had a discussion with Honourable Khan about on it here in the House. Long term, the issue of uniform disciplinary standards or regimes is essential. You cannot have in the same country two disciplinary standards for police. There's a specific reason why police have a different disciplinary regime than other civil servants. And the reason is simply that police have a lot more power, they have powers of stop and search, demanding ID, arrest, use of force. No one else has the power. And hence that power needs to be controlled and held accountable at a higher level of assessment than for other workers. And that's the reason for it. At present in the municipal police, the level of accountability is the same for all workers, including police. That's a problem, fundamental weakness. It's not sustainable, it can't continue. The Party Committee to help us change that. The second issue on the issue of technology dealing with corruption, I think within the municipalities, another fundamental problem is the tendency of elected representatives to link the budget of police to revenue collected out of funds. Now, two problems with that is, firstly, how do you measure your success in terms of law enforcement effectiveness? Is it more fines or less fines? How do you measure change of attitude? You can't measure it. The simple rule is that revenue generation is not the job of police. Because if you're receiving less fines, it could be in collection from a clear indication of change of attitude, or it could be an indication of some problem in the system. So it needs to be a dealing. So very often, people in charge of finance in municipalities hold the police in municipalities to answer. I know that, in fact, from experience. So they will tell them, if you didn't collect so much in fines, we'll decrease your budget by the amount you didn't collect. So you have a fundamental key conceptual problem right there at the beginning. And that is why the electronic equipment that could assist in combating corruption is, there are always budgetary reasons why it can't be procured. From our side and IP, we will support all measures, including technology, to improve and enhance the fight against corruption and to leave no space for corruption to exist anyway. So body cameras, mics in the car, all of that will give an idea of what is going on. A screen, Honorable Mwanabatsi, again, in the municipalities, there is pressure for you as the municipal police as an employment agency. And that is what takes place. You can ask chief, they are all here. And that is a problem. So standards need to be improved. There should be no reason why policemen should be the job that you go to when you fail everywhere else. You did protect and serve should be the first choice. And in terms of the slide that's on the screen now, appoint an IO, I raised it with IPA that I have a problem with that, because in the past we've experienced a situation where we've investigated and over the recommendation. Police reinvestigate and come to a different conclusion. Now, fundamental principle of accountability is you can't investigate without. That's number one. That's why you have hybrid one independent body. So I was given to understand that the word IO, as investigating officer, comes from some regulation of SEPs. Now that regulation must be changed, because you can't reinvestigate an independent investigation. And that IO stands now cannot mean you're going to reinvestigate, because you can't. What causes systemic corruption and ill-discipline in a police service is a causal relationship between supervisors and subordinates. And that causal relation is there for many reasons, but it needs to be disturbed so that effective supervision takes place. One of the key elements of corruption is the supervision, that's how it's allowed to take place. So it must be very clear at this stage, once we head towards a review of that and that regulation, that IO does not mean reinvestigation. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. We will go now to the, I don't know, Secretary, Acting Secretary, anything from your side, and we will go to the SAPs and the Chiefs.
Thank you, Chief. I wanted to indicate that we found the words of the Committee very encouraging, because yes, indeed, we do take the Committee recommendations very seriously, and we do try our very best to implement it. I've asked Luyana to just give a brief report on the various consultants for, or the various fora that does exist in the composition of the fora and the nature of the attendance.
Thank you, Secretary and Honourable Members. There is a monthly meeting between such Secretariat and ICT, and people that sit at those meetings at senior level, from Deputy Directors up to Chief Director level. And that we cascaded that also at the provincial level. However, what picked up at the provincial level, within the Secretariat, ICT, and such. But the content at that level was also to ensure those that are involved, in particular from the subsides, at a higher level. Subs is dealing with that issue, as indicated that from the side of IP to Deputy Director, which is this, because at a secretariat level, at a provincial level, that forum has just started, where also MPPS are involved. Just also to just there was a question earlier on based on the steps of the issue by the researcher. That process is continuing. SFSA is part of our meetings on a monthly basis. At this stage, we are busy doing the diagnosis of the process so that we can see at what level they can intervene. I just wanted to just highlight that part.
Thank you. Let's go to the chiefs. In terms of, if they don't want to respond, it's fine, but I think in terms of the technology, also recruitment is a serious issue, and also fighting system corruption. Let's start in the middle. If you can simply identify yourself.
Okay, I'm Eugene Zama. Firstly, I have to try to cloud the response, and I think the other chiefs are going to put in some other supplementary information that I'm going to be leaving behind. During the inception of the Act, The metros were formed in the 2000s, and there were a lot of gaps that were left by the earth. Hence, the chief decided to have a forum with SAPS, so at least we must be in a position to interlink some of those particular gaps. In that particular forum, we made it a point that we include the ICT then. The other problem that we had was the issue of the development of ARTO. If you remember very well, that ARTO talks too much on the issues of the traffic. We were trying by all means to close all those gaps so that when we work with SAPS, with IBIT, and work with the Department of Transport, we must work seamlessly. There should be no problem. And I must say to the committee, it is very difficult because the earth is not on our side, and the Department of Transport also is also pulling to the other end. Hence, there was a continuity in ensuring that these forums shifts so that you can always iron out those particular problems. Hopefully, with the present, the pressure that we got from the committee now, some of those issues will be speeded up. Because with the meeting that we had, we were forced to come together on issues that really were not in agreement for a long time. There is another problem now that is happening. The Department of Transport has come with this thing of ARTO, and they are forcing the metro away from the SAPS Act, which is another dimension now. And I think you can see that particular dimension with the development of the problem that you are seeing in Johannesburg on the e-tolling. Because the e-tolling, you cannot leave metros out of that particular. Yes, I'm not part of it, but I can still feel the pinch because coming down to the end as I'm hearing it. And I'm trying to see how am I going to protect myself from this particular problem. So these are issues that are affecting better the present moment. The last part, which must be taken by into consideration by the committee, is the issue of working on the labor laws. We've got a different bargaining way in the metros. We're using the SALCA. And the SALCA is making it difficult for us to go and implement all the issues that are demanded by us by the SAPS Act to the answer. So every time we might sit in a forum and discuss issues and agree, but when we go for bargaining with our union in the metros, we'll find it difficult because the union are not going to be pulling towards the SAPS Act, they're going to be pulling to the collective agreement of SALCA. And we've made mention this thing to a number of the national commissioners to help the chiefs to ensure that we close the particular gap to make it easier for the metros to work in this particular policing environment. I'll leave it at that at this particular moment. We are ironing out something, but I'm hopeful that other chiefs are going to come out on other issues and the way forward in this particular matter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Rainuru Kaitami, the police chief. Just on the technology, you touched on the technology part. We've invested in-car cameras, also to assist and, you know, part of our normal patrolling methods. We certainly like the idea of the body camera because that can also assist when accusations come, you know, forward from complaints from the general public. And just honorable member mentioned also about how do we do the checks and balances when officers apply, when you, people apply to become a Metro Police officer, we obviously do the random check of criminal checks. And then during the course, if they are appointed for any other purpose, they are appointed, we also do random checks to see if they may be picked up any type of criminal checks. We do also lifestyle audits, I think that's important. We cannot allow corrupt officers within our organization, so we have a zero tolerance when it comes to corruption within the Taylor Metro Police. And I think it's important to note that when we pick up anything, if anything is brought to our attention, we act immediately and necessarily suspend or we take the member off the road until the investigation is concluded. So in regarding the technology, we are for that. We are looking at investing in modern technology in order to assist the officers whilst patrolling and also to make sure that we cannot have this type of problems out on the road. Thank you.
At the back here, you can just maybe find a place that you can just record your input. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues. I'm Johan Friedlander from EMPD. What Mr. McBride has said is a real problem with local authorities. We have the additional problem, Chair, that when we have disciplinary cases, because of the delegated powers to our Labor Relations Department, we need to send our finding on disciplinary cases to Labor Relations, who then appoint the presenting and presiding officer. In terms of the SALCO agreement, we have a 3-month period, and a lot of our cases fall off the table because of that department not complying with the 3-month period. We also have an unfortunate situation, Honourable Chair, that the Labor Relations Department do not see the offences in the same light as we do. Now, in terms of our agreement, we have a 6.4 and a 6.5. A 6.4 offence, in terms of the disciplinary code, the maximum that a person can get is a verbal warning. We see something in an urgent light, and we feel that it could be a dismissible offence, and they go and change our findings, which is a concern that we have. Chair, regarding electronic surveillance, we are in the process of purchasing 4 video and audio systems on a trial basis to go into our vehicles to see how that works. But what we've also done in the meantime is we've got a real-time tracking of all our vehicles. So we know exactly where our vehicles are, and obviously you can put parameters on your vehicles where they should and should not be, and we can deal with people in that. In 2003, Honourable Chair, Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Council took a decision that any corruption shall be a dismissible offence. And they've declared the intention that corruption shall be rooted out in any form whatsoever. Regarding the attending of IPED meetings, the head of our Integrity and Standards Unit attends this meeting with a full delegation on behalf of the Chief of Police. So if decisions need to be taken there, then it's taken, and what comes back gets implemented. Thank you.
Thank you for your input, sir. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm speaking from Tswane. The issue of corruption, it's a concern to all of us. And we want to assure the committee members that we as chiefs, we in our chief of police forums, we are deliberating on that. The initiatives that you are talking to, we are also talking to them. And the major issues of budgetary constraints, as Mr. McBride has indicated. But we must also see the positiveness in the reported cases, because the more we encourage the members of the public to come out and report all the wrongdoings by our members, that's the reason you're seeing an escalation in the number of cases, and the issue about that is the action that we are taking to deal with the problem. So the two processes, which is the continuous engagement by the department and the members of the public, and the implementation of the electronic security gadgets to help us, I think it will take us far. Second, the issue of the screening of members, I mean the recruits, it's a fact. There is no member who gets recruited in the police environment that doesn't undergo a serious screening process. And I believe there are evidence to that effect. But we must also understand that when members are still outside and when members are inside, the environments are different. So as they begin to meet people, they begin to meet opportunities, they begin to meet another kind of behavior develops. And it is important for us to continuously monitor them, continuously do random checks, continuously implement the mechanism that which will help us to ensure that we bring those things up. Thank you.
Thank you. Other members, Madam Morgan.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and the members. I just want to talk about the issue of our disciplinary code. I think as the chief, we are having a problem in terms of the disciplinary procedures of the that guns at the municipal police service, because as a PS member, we are regarded as a municipal employee, nothing else. Not like in South African police agencies where they are in their disciplinary code specifically for them. If you read our disciplinary collective agreement 6.2, it says if the municipal manager or his representative is satisfied that there is a prima facie case or believe that there is an act of misconduct having committed, he may institute disciplinary hearings. Even if that really influences the recommendations that will be coming from the IPT. We, because our collective agreement gives our city managers the powers, not the chief of the police. The city manager is the one who must institute the disciplinary proceedings against the members. And the issue, I want to go back again to the issue of corruption. Maybe I'll be fortunate to serve in the main metropolis services, Cape Town is back in the one and then the Mission Mandela Bay. And in those three municipalities, even the current one, and the issue as chairperson of corruption is not in the only the metropolis, it's the traffic fraternity as a whole. Not only the metropolis, because I mean also unfortunately, I'm sitting in the board of the RTC. We are addressing the issue within the traffic environment. And the issue of electronic invest, but we need to change the behavior of our traffic officials. Like the chief of Swan has already said, honorable member, we are screening these members because the members of the MPS, the requirements within the act, how we should appoint those members, they meet all the requirements. Immediately when they're within the service is when their behavior start to change. And that says to us, we need to do random screening. Not only the junior members, even the senior members, not only the junior members. So it tells you that corruption within the traffic environment, I mean fraternity, is right. And again, the members of the public have to be educated, refuse to pay a fine, accept to get a citation, and we can give you the of the procedure. Unless we educate both the members of the public not to offer bribe or not to accept to pay bribe, not in this war. Thank you.
Before the others, there's a follow-up from Earl Molobachi on this matter.
Thank you, Chair. The submission by the lady there, I come to a conclusion that you are saying, even after the IP has submitted their findings, you can come to another conclusion. Did I hear you well?
What I was saying, Honorable, saying according to the collective agreement, it says if the city manager is satisfied that the prima facie case against that member, he may institute disciplinary proceedings against that member. And I think it goes back to the issue of Honorable there. When he says, when in one of the presentations, that, I mean, like the, he says, when there's no disciplinary cases to be, I mean, disciplinary action to be taken, we need to provide the evidence why. I think this clause, if the city manager cannot, then it can be dealt with.
All right, thank you. Mr.
Sobe,
you want to come in?
Thank you, Chair Person. I'd like to address a few of the issues that have been raised. Firstly, the one relating to BELCOX. The BELCOX honorable members refer to the recommendations that have already been made by IPT that have not been responded to by the SATS. So this was part of the engagements that we have to say we need to clear up those backlogs, and there's an undertaking from the SATS in particular that by end of September there should have been a deal. My land informs me that they're receiving a lot of responses now with regard to those. So we see a movement in that regard, and we are encouraged that by end of September we should have dealt with them. These meetings will also continue to push in ensuring that these backlogs are dealt with. The Honourable Member asked about the Honourable Matakan asked about the process that is being followed. What happens is after we investigate, we will then refer recommendations to SAPS, NPS, and on receipt of that recommendation, as per now the agreement moving forward, is that the SAPS will initiate within 30 days, and they will provide us with proof on each specific case that they have in fact started the initiation process. The issue that a member raised, that you say, brings a sort of an escape. There was a robust discussion on that issue, and this issue obtains because of Regulation 12 of the SAPS Act that provides that where there's a serious misconduct, the SAPS must appoint an investigating officer who must initiate that process. Now, in terms of our engagement, is that investigating officer, because that investigator must compile a report, which in terms of their regulation will then be used as a basis to continue with the disciplinary process. In terms of our engagement, is that investigating officer or a disciplinary officer, as is called in Regulation 8 of the allegations, would then use the evidence gathered by IPIC as a basis to compile the report and proceed with the disciplinary initiation. The other issue that was raised, as you've seen the slide, was the issue of the quality of IPIC recommendations, which has come to the fore in some instances. And we had instances where SAPS would, for instance, decide not to take disciplinary action without consulting IPIC. Now, as a part of an agreement moving forward, was that if SAPS has got any concerns with regard to our recommendation, then before they take any action, that they will not take discipline. They must engage with us. Hence, we say we need a full report from them to say what is the basis that they think they can. And then we engage with that. If we are in agreement with them, we may review our recommendation. If we are not in agreement with them, then they must proceed and implement the recommendations as we've indicated. So that was the issue of trying to close that. As part of these meetings, a standard item in those meetings will also be talking to the parties of recommendations. Because if there's an issue with our recommendation, they must be raised in those meetings, so that we don't get a situation where we find that a recommendation was not implemented unilaterally without engaging us in that regard. So that is the process that we would agree upon. Honourable Hulavan asked, when can we expect the review of the act to happen? The executive director indicated yesterday that IPIC started the process already of the review, which is now at this stage in China, with regard to our regulations and the Act itself. And then these engagements will happen, and once we are ready with our submissions to the minister, then we'll submit to the minister to start a review process. We expect that in the course of this coming financial year, we should be approaching the minister and the committee with regard to the review of the Act and with regard to the review of the regulation to the minister. That is what we anticipate to happen. That is all, Chairperson.
On that specific point, Honourable Kalabona, you're welcome.
If I may follow up on that one. As you quite rightly say, it's not up to the staff to change or recommendation unilaterally. And they should come to you if they have a problem with the recommendation and have a discussion. But in the end, what you say there's a decision. What happens if you have, let us say, a police officer kills someone, and you then do your investigation and send the matter to the NPA? What if the SAPS then comes, you don't know, we want you to change that? What is the most, surely then your responsibility is directed to the NPA and not to the SAPS, or you don't surely discuss such an outcome? I mean, SAPS have no input on such an outcome. If you go to the NPA, the SAPS may not settle with the outcome. That's what I'm, so that's what I, thank you. That's what I surmise. Thank you so much.
There's a follow-up on the record on the same issue.
I hear the explanation. One of the problems that the previous independent directorate, police directorate had found was a difficulty in the implementation of the recommendation. That resulted into IPED legislation as a way to make sure that you close the problems that SAPS was experiencing, or the IPED was experiencing in terms of the recommendation. Now, I'm trying to reconcile that process with that bullet point, that if no disciplinary action, they must give a report. And now you go further and you say it may lead to the renewal of the recommendation. I have a problem with that. Because this is quite just an opening of another problem. Can't it be worded differently? That's really the question. It may well be a shorthand. I understand what you're saying, but if you're going to write it like that, it's actually going against the law. So you're going against the recommendation, it's going against the Act as it stands. I don't know which provision in the Act will you use to accommodate that interaction as a result of the recommendation that other SAPS doesn't like, or the thing that is following it. So I don't know, but I'm just posing that maybe, because this Friday, and I know that we have to fly to Johannesburg and everybody else has to fly, we probably have to think about this particular aspect and then see how best to respond to it. While I have the floor, because I did promise you I don't want to ask another question. The one area that must be determined is this level of attendance to meetings. I know you said this from a DB director upwards to the chief director. It doesn't mean much to me. Thank you. We've got to know, because it's got to do with the ranks and the decision-making process. It's got to do with the undermining whether there is this one's got authority to do this. It's worse like that. So once you have the illusion of ranks in a structure, you have no decision-making process. You're unable. The chief will say, I don't know what that guy says. I don't implement that. So you've got to try and think what is the more or less equal kind of ranking of a particular structure. It also gives you the particular structure that it is a serious meeting. Thank you, sir.
So I might just maybe indicate also that in February, I think IPED is coming to us anyway regarding the legislation. And I think some of the issues that was indicated by the colleagues, that may be also appropriate opportunity maybe to think about it and then discuss. It's also a follow-up on the same issue, Honourable Morabachi. To follow up with it, then we go to, if there's any outstanding responses, then we'll go to the next one.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, members. Honourable Kolabana, the recommendations with regard to discipline are separate from that of criminal. So those are two separate processes. We go parallel. And the SAPS are not getting involved in that process. Yes. So what would happen is that at the conclusion of our investigation, it was to investigate criminality in any event. We will then refer the conclusion of our investigations to the director for the prosecution to indicate whether to prosecute or not. And then, separately, we will then send a recommendation to the SAGS with regard to discipline. Invariably, where we recommend that criminal prosecution should flow, may happen that we may recommend that there is no criminal prosecution that must flow. However, we may recommend that disciplinary prosecution should flow. So that those are two separate processes. And SAPS NGS only get to know about the disciplinary when we refer that to them. The issue that you raised, since I've said that in terms of
the same name.
Sorry, Ramatlakane.
Yes,
sir.
Ma.
Sorry, Ramatlakane. Ramatlakane, sorry. As I've indicated, that we had a robust engagement on the issue. Because of the past experience, and what was also raised at this committee level, to say the act is very clear in this regard. But because we made recommendations based on an investigation, and we're seeing when some, if the SAPS disciplinary officer reads our report and say, but I don't think we got it right here. What used to happen previously is that they would then say, we're not going to take this direction. And we think that is a wrong premise. And we say, it may be that you may have an issue with those recommendations, but engage with us. Tell us, what are the issues that you have? Because we are the ones who generated these recommendations. Then we are the ones who will be able to say, is there really an issue with regard to our recommendation? If we find that maybe we are convinced that we may have missed something in that recommendation on any point of law, for instance, you know. And that's where we're talking about, maybe we may say, okay, maybe instead of making recommendation in terms of a particular contravention, we should have made in terms of a particular contravention. But we're saying, the issue of unilateral saying, we can't do it. It's something that must come to a stop. So we don't have a situation where we say, these recommendations, SAPS decided on his own that we're not going to do anything about it. So that's what we're trying to address in that regard.
Any other responses from the panel? Sarajevo Police Service.
Honorable Chair, honorable members and colleagues, thank you for the opportunity. I think our position has been adequately addressed by Mr. Shoka, and I will just add in terms of our agreement. On the first issue of the contradiction between slide 3 and 9, I think he has already touched on that and tried to explain what is the agreed position. Maybe I want myself to say it was definitely not the intention of the SAPS management to dilute the recommendations. It is important for the SAPS because at the end of the day, if we fail to comply with the stipulations of regulation 12, we might end up with a court challenge on that particular case, and that member might end up moving free. So that is one of the challenges that was facing us in terms of the compliance with the regulation. And therefore, we are saying, we agree in total to say the recommendations cannot just be placed aside and say we decide now we're not going to proceed. If there is an appointment of an investigating officer in compliance with the regulations, and we decide that the investigating officer decides that he does not have merit in terms of his investigation, we will obviously have to go back and indicate what is it that we have a problem with in terms of that investigation. And I think it has already been explained to say that the recommendations and the basis of the investigation of the IP to form the critical part of that investigation process so that we are able to submit the report in terms of regulation terms, because that for us is also important moving forward with the case itself against the employee. I think that was just the question one wanted to emphasize on, to say we can't now decide just because the investigating officer is of the view that there is not sufficient evidence to proceed, then we'll just put that case aside and report it. We have agreed that is not the correct process to follow. If we have any reservations upon investigation, we will definitely go back and consult and so that we get clarification on those issues we have got the concerns in terms of the investigation. The other issue, Chair, I think was not touched on was the issue of the sanctions. We are currently, we have noted the concerns in terms of having a tunneled approach on the sanctions. Obviously, in terms of the law, it is improper to make a determination before the chairman of the hearing has applied in mind to the facts of the matter. However, the purpose of the guidelines that we have established, that we are busy consulting with the unions, to give a guideline so that we get a, at the end of the day, the presiding officer differs with those sanctions. We'll definitely have to expect some explanation on what informs that different session. The problem was, for example, if a case is serious and a chairperson would find differently than what is prescribed in terms of those serious sanctions, then the management would then explain effect that there must be an explanation accountability by that particular chairperson. That is why we are forming these sanctions. And we are consulting because our discipline regulations are a product of negotiation currently. So we can't make any decision on those regulations without the consultations with the stakeholders, which is the union in this instance. The reviewing of the levels of our coordinators, just to clarify, at the provincial level, we have got different coordinators that are sending to the members of IPID, and we had them because to us it was normally an administrative process, and in terms of capacity at different levels of our structure, we pitched them level around level 6 in terms of our ranks, and that is why I'm saying that position is being reviewed. And currently we are going to level 12, which is at kernel level, and that is what we are busy with, and that is the explanation in terms of the review of the levels. So that our representation in terms of the coordinator on IPID levels is reached at a higher level, and that is what we have agreed to do, Chair. I think the issue of reinvestigation has been adequately covered. I'm not sure if I have missed something, Chair.
We will now take a 15 minutes break for tea, and then we'll come back and if there's any further questions. 15 minutes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Your stay was a very long session, so it's going to take me a while to do a complete report, but I can send you what I have. Yeah. I also have a recording of the meeting, and what you want to take that to. Yeah.